veteran missionary Brother Don Leaf is with us this morning. I knew that we had supported him for a long time, and I didn't want to speak until I confirmed it with him. But Westwood Heights began supporting the Leaf family under my predecessor, Pastor Richard Waitman, who is now with the Lord. He pastored here from 78 to 84, and sometime during that time, the church began to support the Leaf family missionaries to Brazil. So Brother Don is here this morning, and he is going to bring a report on the work that has been doing and what's going on with the Leaf family right now and going forward. So where he's not here. He's not here. He's not. No, it's okay. He's... I really am glad to see you. And this is true for us as well. It's spring break week in the academy, which means many of the teachers have made a break for it and taken their family with them. And my wife and I are making a break for it this afternoon and going to our son. So I'll mention this at the end. But Brother Paul Sealing has a service tonight. Brother Omar has it Wednesday night. And so numbers of folks are gone. And then there was Emma's wedding yesterday out in the hill country of Nebraska, and so cowboy land, and so there are folks involved in that. There's Brother Leaf.
He's putting little cards out there and pens.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll mention it. He's got cards and pens that he's selling for 25 cents a piece. Or was it 50? Was it 50 cents?
That's the special. Am I on here or not? I'm sorry, brother.
No, that's fine. Like I told you, we're not going to live and die by the clock. But
am I hooked up? Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Good morning. I still am trying to get myself adapted to American scheduling. In Brazil, you mark a time and you never really get started for at least 5 or 10 minutes after the time that's marked. So when we would have to go places, you know, when we had something marked with everybody to meet and go somewhere, we would always mark at least a half hour before we were going to actually have to leave, so that everybody is there on the time we had to leave. So I'm trying to get back to the United States and get myself worked in. Anyway, it's good to be here this morning, and I trust we can be a blessing to you. First of all, what we're going to do is going to show you a video. It's a short video. This video is basically gives a summary of everything that the Lord has allowed us to do. My wife and I left for Brazil in 1972. Our oldest son was a year and a half old. And we've been serving the Lord ever since. Actually, we were on deputation for 2 years, so we started as missionaries in 1970. And the year before that, I had been associate pastor of our home church in Salt Lake City. This is all going to be said in the video, but just to give you an idea of what our background is. And then after the video, have a couple more comments about our work. If anybody would have a question, I'll answer it. And then we'll look at the Bible for a little bit, okay? Everybody okay with that? You let me do that? Okay. Go ahead with that video, brother.
We are Don and Linda Leaf. We have served the Lord in the work of mission since 1970. Our ministry has included church planting and ministry training. We are presently with a global independent Baptist mission agency, and our sending church is Victory Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. Our pastor is Rob Catuto. After graduating from Pillsbury Baptist Bible College in Minnesota in 1969, Lynn and I went to Salt Lake City, where I served as assistant pastor for 1 year in our home church, the Anchor Baptist Church. After that year, we were approved by the World Baptist Fellowship as missionaries to Brazil, being sent out by the Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake. In obedience to the general command given by the Lord to his disciples in Matthew 28:19-20, and his specific call to us, we made preparations to go to Brazil. Brazil was discovered and settled by the Portuguese in the year 1500, and because of that, its official language is Portuguese. It has a population of 215 million and a land size larger than continental United States. Brazil is a country of differences, from vast jungles to enormous cities, from beautiful birds to huge and even some dangerous fish, and from wildcats to long-tongued anteaters. The people of Brazil are made up of diverse cultures: Indian, Portuguese, German, Japanese, Italian, and African, that have all made the country a true melting pot of society. These different cultures and the different geographical conditions have resulted in every type of living conditions, vocations, and foods. It was to these people that God called us. We went not knowing the language and not knowing the customs. However, we knew that they needed to know the Lord Jesus Christ and how to serve Him. We also knew that He would lead us and teach us how to best present the gospel and train the Brazilians to reach their own people. After all, they know the language and the customs much better than we could ever be able to learn it. In June of 1972, we arrived in Manaus, Brazil, with our oldest son, Andrew, to study the Portuguese language. In December of that year, our second son, Benjamin, was born. He is now serving as a missionary in the state of São Paulo, Brazil. We have three other children, Peter, Sarah, and Rachel. All are serving the Lord in their respective locations today. Our journey in Brazil began in Manaus as we studied the very difficult language of Portuguese. We also began learning the ways of Brazil in the city and the forest of the Amazon. Needless to say, we had some very unique and interesting experiences, such as riding on a city bus roaring through the streets of Manaus as the bus drivers raced each other. The river trips into the Amazon rainforest, seeing only trees and water for days in order to arrive at a small town of 500 people, taught us patience. And also that there are people in every part of the remote areas that need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. While in Manaus, with our limited ability in the language, we participated in the ministry working with children and teaching in the seminary. My first message was preached in a small church 7 days up the Rio Negro. I read every word and finished in record time, 10 minutes. Upon finishing our language studies, we moved to the state of São Paulo in the south central area of Brazil. We spent the next 24 years working in various cities of that state. Our purpose in every place has been to plant churches and prepare national leadership for those churches. The Lord used us to establish 4 churches and to assist national workers and pastors in establishing 10 other churches. To help provide the national leadership for these churches, we were also involved in the direction and teaching of 3 Bible schools. In 1990, we were invited to help start a new Bible school in the interior of the state of São Paulo. 10 of the graduates from that school are still serving in the ministry today. During the next 8 years, we were directly and indirectly involved with the establishment of 5 churches. It was also during this time that we participated in the establishment and administration of a national mission for Brazilian missionaries. That mission continues to function with 30 active missionaries in Brazil and 4 foreign countries. In 1998, we were asked to take the position of missions director for the Independent Baptist Fellowship Mission Agency in Texas. During those years, we were responsible to administrate the mission office, encourage the missionaries, and challenge the churches that supported the missionaries and the Independent Baptist Fellowship. In 2007, we resigned that position, returned to Brazil in 2008. Upon our return, we went to the state of Paraná, where we have been working until now. The Lord used us to establish a church in the city of Corneio Procópio. We worked directly with these people until 2018. They called a national pastor in that year. We remained with them only 1 year. While they were seeking a new pastor, the COVID pandemic hit. With the difficulties of the pandemic and the church without a pastor, they asked me to help them. I accepted and at first ministered by internet, but then began to drive 1 hour twice a month to preach for them while they looked for a new pastor. This past April, the church called a man to be their pastor and is moving forward. When we began the work in Cornelia, we were asked to teach in a small Bible school and a church in Londrina. We continued teaching in the school until it closed for lack of students. Two of those students who had been studying continued to meet with me weekly, becoming my disciples. One of these men is discipling some of the employees of his small factory. One of those employees received Christ as his Savior shortly before we returned to the U.S. This dear brother continues in his discipleship ministry until today. In 2018, we were living in Londrina, Paraná, and assumed a small work in the city of Holandia, 30 minutes away. Along with a young couple in training, we taught and preached to a group of 15 people until the work was shut down by the COVID pandemic in 2020. Since we could not meet in person, I recorded messages and studies on the internet for them to watch. They just recently were able to restart the work under the leadership of a national pastor. Upon our return to the U.S. in September, some of our dear Christian friends prepared a meeting to send us on our way. There were 90 people that came from Cornelia, Londrina, and Holandia to show their love and appreciation. This manifestation of love goes beyond us to include you, who have been so faithful to pray for us and support our ministry. Paul acknowledged the involvement of those who prayed for him in 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. It is important for us to all remember that God has a purpose to accomplish good things through us, which we can expect to see when we walk in His path, fulfilling His will. Jeremiah declared God's desire for Israel, which is applicable to us today. He proclaimed, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Jeremiah 29:11. Lynn and I do not have words to express our thanks to you individually and collectively for your love for Christ shown to us by your faithful prayers and support. As we look back on 53 years of service to our loving Savior and Lord, we can truly say that we have only praise and thanksgiving for having had the privilege to serve Him. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of our knowledge by us in every place.
That is a resume of actually 54 years in June of our ministry in missions. And we did that specifically because we've come to a place where we're going to be changing our direction. We're not going back to Brazil. And it's not because we decided to quit or retire. My wife has health issues. And those health issues require her to be in a place where she doesn't have any stress. I won't go into details about that. If you want to know the details, I can talk to you afterward. And so the Lord has definitely shown us that we are to come back to the States. We will not be stopping our ministry. Those two men that I was discipling, I have direct contact with them constantly. In fact, one of them sent me yesterday evening the Sunday school lesson that he was preparing to teach this morning. He's not normally the Sunday school teacher. And he said, "Could you look at this for me and help me to make sure that it's okay?" So, and the other one, I'm consistently in contact with him as far as his discipleship is concerned as well. Our son, who is in Brazil as a missionary, has teamed up with me, and we're going to be preparing to make available in Brazil all the materials that I have put together over all the years, as in pastoring, preaching, the Sunday school materials. I have a full series on the doctrines of the Bible that I that I taught in Sunday school classes and taught, actually preached them in preaching services. And so, but they were in outline form. And he's moving that from outline to text form. And we're going to make that available to the pastors and churches in Brazil, besides the other things. There's a couple of projects, book type things that I'm in the process of working on and have in my head to do in the days ahead. We will make ourselves available both there and here to preach conferences, teach. In fact, in October, I've been asked to teach a missions module in one of the Bible schools down in Texas. So that's what's going on. I've already talked with the pastor. We would not have been doing this if it had not been for a health issue. My wife and I planned to go to Brazil and die in Brazil. We never planned on coming back. The proof of that is we don't have a house. We never bought property. We only bought what we needed to when we came back on furlough and never planned to buy anything down here in the States, because that was where we lived and that's where we were to minister. And the Lord, you know, the Lord has his ways of just bringing you up short. If it had been me that gotten a little sick, we'd still be there. And if it was my wife, and it being my wife, even though she had gotten a little bit sick, we'd still be there. But her case is a case that we just can't stay anymore. And as I said, if you want more information on that, then we'll give that to you, okay? We praise the Lord, and the reason in my being here, and we set this up that we're visiting all of our supporting churches, and the reason I'm here is to thank you, because as the video said, if it wasn't for your prayers and your support, what God has accomplished over these years would have been, I really think it wouldn't have been possible, because it's the prayer warriors are, for a missionary, you can talk to any missionary and they'll tell you the same thing. That is so important. And I've always told people over the years that when you're praying, it's as though God takes you to that location, because the Holy Spirit is in you and the Holy Spirit is there. And when you're praying here, your effectiveness of the Spirit of God is there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And sometimes we separate ourselves because of the physical distance, but when we're praying, there is no separation. You are there participating. And that's why it's so important that you pray and for the missionaries consistently. And you know, those daily prayers are good, but boy, I appreciate times when somebody has either written us or has come to me and said, you know, for some reason the Lord just put you on my heart on such and such a time, and I prayed. And when you put two and two together, there was something going on. Okay? And they became a very important part of a spiritual battle that was going on in our life and on the field. And that's true with every missionary. So I want to encourage you this morning, pray, keep praying, continue to participate in your financial giving for missions. It's so important. Things are getting more expensive all the time here, and they're getting more expensive on the field. When my wife and I went to Brazil in 1972, our monthly support, I think, was something like $1,200, $1,500 a month. I don't remember for sure, but it was. And now a missionary that if he's not receiving between $4,000 and $5,000 on the field, he's not going to be able to do anything. At least in Brazil. Now, there's probably other countries where it's not that expensive. So you see that what's happened over the years, the cost has gone up, just like it has here in the States. I mean, when I was a kid, I bought a bag of candy. How many of you used to buy a bag of candy at the corner drugstore? In Salt Lake, there's a drugstore just up the street from my elementary school. And for 10 cents, I could fill that bag of candy, this like that, with candy for 10 cents. Okay? I couldn't even buy a candy bar for 10 cents today. Right? So, yeah, things are going up. The cost goes up, and And your church is spending far more money today than it was 20 years ago just to be here. We all know that. And so you're consistent, and as the Lord allows you, you know, to increase your support for missionaries, it's so important. It's so important. But more important than money is your prayers. And somebody was telling me that they had visited a missionary on the field, you know. And I'd actually encourage you to think about that. You know, the money, I tell people, this all, I've told them for years, we invited people to come visit us. The money that you would spend, for instance, on a cruise, well, how many people are taking cruises today? I'm absolutely amazed. The money you would spend to take a cruise, or go on a cruise, will get you to a mission field. And you can spend 2 weeks with a missionary, and I guarantee you, he'll take care of you. And you'll be able to see firsthand what's going on the mission. It'll change your life. You'll never be the same. You'll never be the same. You'll come back to the States. You'll have a different vision on the work in the States. You'll have a different vision on the work in the field. And you will have encouraged that missionary far more than you would ever dream possible. So, think about it. Pray about it. 2 week vacation in some mission field, not understanding a word you're hearing, eating crazy food, but seeing people who truly love the Lord just like you do, trying to reach lost people just like the ones that are around you. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. And you know, we spend money on what we put priorities, do we not? The most important thing is where we'll spend our money. And we'll sacrifice for what we put a priority. So I'm encouraging you to put a priority on missions and missionaries, okay? Am I going to get stoned, preacher, for saying something like that? Good. Anybody have a question?
Where are you going to make your home
then? In Texas, and that's another thing I was telling the pastor. All this started last April. Okay, the Lord gave me a verse. I was reading my Bible one day, and it was just like, you know how those things happen? You read your Bible, and just like the thing just jumps up at you. And this one not only jumped up at me, knocked me off the chair, and started to choke me to death. Because it was a statement that the Lord was giving, telling me that we were going to be leaving where we were, and we were to go north. Now, I told my wife that, showed it to her. And my wife at that time was really having physical problems. She was not well at all. And when I showed her the verse, she said, "How far north?" And the Lord began to work. And in that process, even before we had made the decision to come back to the States, we talked to our mission director, talked to our pastor, talked to other people. And before that decision was made, we had been offered a house in Weatherford, Texas. And what we have to pay is actually less than a third of what we would have to pay if we were to rent a house or an apartment. And we can be in that house as long as we need it, till we die. And we didn't ask, we didn't think, we didn't know anything about this until after it had already been decided to offer to us. And when all this came up, then, of course, we took it. It's a nice house, and it's a good location. It's 5 minutes away from our home church, and it's just exactly what we needed. And I'm telling you, folks, my wife and I never, ever dreamed that God would do something like that for us. We've never expected more from him or any special recognition from him. We've just tried to serve him and love him. And the house is a type of a place that we can actually be a blessing to others. We have the facilities to do what we need to do. We can take a missionary that comes and put him in our house if we need to. We have the space to do that. And we're just so thankful for what he's doing. So that's where we're going to be. We're going to be in Texas. I have made myself available, churches. I'm doing that with all the churches that I go to and with pastors that I know. I can go and preach in their church, missions conference, fill the pulpit, do anything like that. That's what I want to do. I want to be a blessing until I can't do anymore. Okay? And so, another question. Yes, sir. In Brazil? Less. Materialism, secularism, it's all hit there just like here. Universities, there's the educational system of Brazil has really moved up. I mean, there are some schools in Brazil that are becoming recognized in the world as far as, you know, what they're producing for graduates in different areas. But with all of that, secularism. And how many of you know John Dewey? I don't know him personally, but I know of him, okay? You've never read about John Dewey? Okay, John Dewey was the one who established the educational system in America. He was a communist. He was a secularist. He was an evolutionist. And he set up the system that is being used today in the public educational system. Okay? He's a very important man in history. He influenced another man in Brazil. Okay? And this man assumed the same position, but only more drastically in the country of Brazil. And it was easier for him to establish that system or that philosophy in the educational system because Brazil was already socialistic. And Brazil is a socialistic country. It always has been. There's capitalism that's available and all that, but the basis of it is a socialistic system. I mean, in a way, I was kind of thankful we were there during the first years my wife got sick because the government provided the medication she takes that down there costs $3,000 a month. They provide it for free. And that's because of the social medicine, okay? But that system was already in place. And when he brought that into the educational system, then it was just sucked up. And so anybody that goes to a public school in Brazil is just like here. They're taught evolution. They're taught socialism, communism as the way of life. Okay, and Brazil for years and years and years always had this stuff, you know, about the woke stuff. That was always in Brazil, but it was always kept hidden because of the Catholic Church. Well, now it's wide open, and that's because of all these influences. And that's had a negative influence. Another negative influence is that the leadership of Brazil, Christian leadership of Brazil, okay, pastors and all have become materialistic, very much so as here. We got the big churches down there where they're raking in the money for the people that are in charge, and so there's all that same that influence has caused it. So it's much more difficult. The Catholic Church changed its position. It used to be if you talked to a Catholic, tried to talk to a Catholic about the Lord, he would just shut you down if he was a strong Catholic. He wouldn't even talk to you. And you had to be careful because you might get in a fight, okay? I know one preacher, one missionary, this is many, many years ago. This is probably the end of the 60s that it happened. He was preaching in one of the downtown, in front of a Catholic church, park type of a thing, okay? And I could only think of the Portuguese word there. That's where my problem was. I'm sorry. But he was preaching. It was in front of a big Catholic church, and he got stoned. And people started throwing, there were small stones, but they began to throw stones at him. Now when you talk to a Catholic, he will say that he's a Christian. He will agree with you 100%. It's very difficult sometimes to get them to admit that they think differently. It used to be that you could start preaching the gospel by grace and by faith, and they would immediately attack you. But now, no, I believe Jesus is a Savior, and I've trusted him. I believe in him by faith, and I've accepted him, and all that kind of thing. And you have to keep asking questions and pushing them to the point where they admit that it's not just Jesus, but it's also Mary and his good works. We used to pass in front of a Catholic church. The house we had was close enough to where we were meeting. This is in Cornelia, that we would walk by the Catholic church on our way to church and walk by it on the way home. And we actually heard the Catholic priest in the major church in the town preaching one day as we were going home. And I sat there and I thought, in my heart, I was saying, amen. Everything he said was exactly what I just got through preaching. And he came to the end and I thought, man, give the invitation. That what he did was, after he gave all that truth, then he said, now don't forget Mary. And make sure that you're doing all these things that you're supposed to do in the Catholic Church. Basically what he said. So he preached the gospel and preached trusting in Jesus for salvation, but he added the other. And so when we deal with Catholics in Brazil now, we have to keep pushing till we get to the point where they have to admit that they don't really know they're saved because they're trusting their works. And so it is definitely different. In every way. Okay? Another question? Yes, sir. I guess I'm going to be answering questions and not go to the Bible, preacher. Yes, sir.
Could you tell us a little bit more about the mission that's established there? You said there are four missionaries.
Yes, sir. Actually, there were four American missionaries, and I think it was something like about seven national pastors that we came together and set things up as far as the organization is concerned. I served as the treasurer for about 4 or 5 years because they didn't have anybody all the other people that were involved were working during the daytime. They didn't have the ability to go to the bank. And I finally turned my position over to the national leadership. They started with one missionary. The first missionary that they had went to Portugal. He's still there. In fact, I went with him on a survey trip in 1990 to Portugal. And after that, they started adding. They have their church. It's their church planters. And they're all over Brazil. I don't know how many because I don't have a part in that mission anymore. But I think there's something like about 26 or so that are actually working in Brazil in various parts, planting churches, and then they have these others that have gone to other countries. I'm not really sure exactly but it's a church planting mission. That's their purpose, okay? And two of the missionaries, I mean, myself and another missionary that you would know, I think you would anyway. Joe Hawkins was involved with that, and then two other American missionaries with other groups that were in Brazil. Okay. Another question? Yes, sir.
Are those 10 churches that you have a part in and other churches, do they have freedom or government interference?
No. Brazil is complete at this point. Okay. At this point, it's just like here in the States. Okay. However, the president of Brazil right now is a communist. He's actually, this is the second time he's been president, and he also has been in jail. He was arrested and he was convicted of corruption, stealing money after his after he was out of office the last time, and they worked in some judges in the Supreme Court that actually overturned that. They're all communists, these judges, and they overturned it, and he was elected. Basically, the election was stolen, and they have proof of that. The former president, a lot of the people were hoping that he would, through the military, be able to prove that the election was stolen. But in the end, that all fell apart. That's a long story. So this guy is now in charge. He has the Supreme Court of Brazil in his pocket. And so anything that comes up to be challenged, in whatever way it's challenged, they will go with him. And that's communistic. So the preachers in Brazil, they're already changing laws. In Brazil, it was illegal. Abortion was illegal. And some other things. Those laws are being changed already. And the pastors in Brazil are very concerned with everything that's going on. The laws of these gender laws are being put in place. And in the very same way as here, where if you, as a parent, do not allow your child to do what he thinks he should do, that your child can be taken away from you. That's happening in Brazil as well. And it's going to be much easier for them to get those things through because of the system that's there. Okay? So yeah, it's they have the liberties, but I think it's going to be faster there than here, where those liberties are going to be taken away. And the system itself is set up where, you know, we're looking at changes of a police style state here in the States. That's happening to an extent, but down there it's already in place and has been for years. So they don't think twice about going in. When they go into your house, when the police go into your house, they don't really care what they do, if they hurt anybody or not. They just go and do what they have to do. And it's been that way for years. So Brazilians are scared to death of the police. They're scared to death of the local police. They're scared to death of the federal police. And so it just makes it easier for them to accomplish their goals. So, yeah. Need to pray for the people of Brazil. Pray for the churches. Pray for the pastors. Oh, and one other thing here. The interesting thing that's happened in Brazil. When COVID hit, okay, when it was all over, in the independent fundamental Baptist ranks, we lost 40 preachers. Now, it was already being difficult to find pastors because young people were not, just like here in the States, young people were not surrendering. When we came back in 98 to take the position of missions director, there were 5 independent Baptist Bible schools functioning that I knew about, that I had contact with. There were others that I didn't know about, didn't have contact with. But there were 5 that I knew. They had, I think 2 of them had somewhere around 30 to 50 students. The others had between 15 and 20. And when I went back in 2008, there were 2 schools that remained. And the largest one had 25 students. So in 10 years, the number of people presenting themselves for ministry dropped that much. So churches, because Brazilian churches for many years had the vision that they were responsible to go start churches. Okay? So the churches and the missionaries that were starting churches were having great difficulty in finding somebody to take their place. In Cornelio, we went through 5 men before we finally found one that's doing the job. The others came, didn't stay, they weren't worth it, and in between those we had to look a lot to find somebody to even come and look at the church. And there were other missionaries that I knew that had churches ready to go, and they were in their church looking for 3 to 5 years and still weren't able to find anybody. So COVID came, and with that situation, it was really difficult. When it was over, we had 40 preachers that died that were independent fundamental Baptist preachers. And so the churches that existed with pastors were without pastors, plus the fact that all the churches that didn't have pastors or were looking for pastors were all looking for pastors. Okay, so that made it has made it much more difficult for the churches in that sense for leadership. And I heard from somebody that in the Brazilian Baptist Convention, which is similar to the Southern Baptist Convention here in the States, they lost 300 preachers to COVID. Now, there's a whole lot more churches with that movement than there are with the independent Baptists. But still, when you stop and think about that kind of a thing, what kind of a situation that creates, that creates a huge void in spiritual leadership. And that hit Brazil after the COVID was over. And they have not recovered. They're still, and the schools themselves are still struggling because young people, materialism, back to that other question, all these things have made it so that they're not interested. In fact, some national pastors, and this may sound like I'm being judgmental, I'm not, I'm just stating facts, but some men who go to Bible school to prepare for the ministry are only using that as a stepping stone so that they get a church that gives them a certain salary, and then they go to school to get a degree in some secular way so they can get a secular job to make more money. And many of them in the end end up abandoning the ministry to be able to follow that profession that they set up. So that's kind of what's going on that way. Okay? 2 minutes. Anybody else have a question? And I don't get to preach, preacher. Here you go.
I was talking to you about that I visited missionaries, and I had a friend down in Colombia, Brazil there, right on the Amazon River, and she invited me to she got a hold of a doctor here who was taking a medical group of young people to the Amazon, to the Manaus hospital.
Yes. And I would imagine that anybody that talks to you and you start telling about all these experiences and what it did for you, they see something different. You cannot be in a situation like that. You cannot visit someplace where people are living in a culture that is completely anti-Christian and not be affected. You can't. Our pastor in Salt Lake, we changed churches when I became the missions director, but the church in Salt Lake that we were originally sent out of, our pastor went to visit us in Brazil. And they were visited us and the Hawkins and some others. And my parents told me that when they got back from Brazil, they were not the same. He changed. So even, you know, we've encouraged pastors for many years. We've encouraged church members to make that trip. And you don't really need to go that far. I mean, there are missionaries in Mexico, although Mexico is not a very safe place to be going nowadays, but there are missionaries there. And if you investigate it, you're going to find out that you might spend less on making a mission trip than you would if you just did what most people do for a vacation trip here in the States. I'm just a challenge, okay? All right? And my time is up.
Okay. We'll be back in 11.
Okay.